Promenade across the floor, sashay right on out the door, and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, October 26, 2011.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 22.
I am your host, Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland.
Hi, Dale. I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. And hello, Square Dance community. Today we have a caller we're interviewing who has his own band, and he's from Lompoc, California. His name is Darren Galena.
Yep, really looking forward to this interview. I've heard Darren call before. Fabulous singer.
Oh, cool.
So we've been waiting with bated breath, Barb. You're back from your cruise.
I am back.
Please tell us how it was.
It was fabulous, just as we all would have expected. There was way too much food. I think I brought home an extra 10 pounds, and even my suitcase came back heavier.
Wow.
I don't know if I sweated off all the dirt and that turned into fat on the clothes or what, but I came back with a little bit of a cold and a camera that wasn't quite behaving for the last 2 days, but I got a lot of good pictures before that time, had a lot of fun, a lot of good touring. We were in 9 different ports over the 2 weeks in the New England area and in Canada, and there was a little bit of alcohol imbibing done, yes, that was part of the evening festivities, so...
Okay.
Everything but the Cabana Boys.
Great.
And you had kind of a special week recently, too, didn't you?
I did. I was thrown a surprise birthday party.
Yay!
For my 50th birthday. It was a surprise of all surprises. Kathy has been planning, I guess, for several months to do this, and she got a hold of my daughters, who were in on it from the very beginning.
Perfect.
They didn't tell anything. Got a hold of my mom, who somehow, even though I talked to her 3 or 4 times a week, said absolutely nothing. And it was very funny. And I've got several friends who are all involved kind of deeply in it, and nobody in any way said anything at all.
You didn't suspect a thing.
I didn't. And
that's
as a matter
amazing.
Of fact, she said, just keep this time free. And I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, we're going to go out for a nice dinner or something.
Yeah.
So she said, do you mind if I blindfold you? And I said, no, that's fine. And and we got, you know, we parked. Eventually we drove for 20 minutes or so and parked. And I didn't know where we were. I knew a general area,
yeah.
But I didn't. Like put it all together. So we walk in and there's music playing that could have been Italian music. Turns out it was German, but could have been Italian music.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, kind of the smells were there. And I said, are we in an Italian restaurant? Are we going to some macaroni grill or some Italian restaurant? She said nothing. And then she took my blindfold off and there were 50 of my closest friends standing in front of me. With their hands in the air and applauding. It was just magical.
It was just wonderful
and magnificent. And I couldn't ask for more. My daughters were there. And one of my college roommates' best friend was there. And it was just a wonderful night at a German beer garden called Blobs Park. And we danced and polka'd and there's a wonderful band from Ohio that was in that we always like listening to when we go. So it was wonderful. And no gifts were supposed to be brought, but of course several people brought gifts. And I've been having a lot of fun. They know I like puzzles and games. I've been having a great deal of fun with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on reaching your half century mark. Very good.
Yeah, I'm happy to have made it. And they said, I think somebody today said, if you make it to 50 and you haven't grown up yet, you have permission not to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I'm going to buy into that one.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds good to me.
So who would you like to say hello to?
Of course, I have to give my special shout out to my most recent traveling companions, Barb Klein and Chuck Bajor, who are known in the Square Dance community, especially around Tucson, Arizona, and friends who work with Chuck, Joelle May and Sheila Kalangi. our two others. So I have three brand new friends, and I got to know Barb a whole bunch better. So we had a wonderful time, and I thank them for that.
Oh, great. Great.
You got a shout out too, I'm sure.
I do, to all my friends. I mean, it was just such a wonderful, wonderful time. And I couldn't have asked for more. Everybody that had anything to do with the party that was put on, it was just wonderful.
It all worked, huh?
And now I can't wait to turn 100 and do it all again.
I hope everybody's there for that one, too.
Yeah. Getting into the interview with Darren, have you ever met Darren?
I have not, and I'm debating on whether I should tell you this kind of stupid story. I never even heard of Darren Galina until I was at the gay convention that was in Chicago in 2010. I picked up a flyer off the flyer table, and there was a picture of Darren with a wig on. And you're not going to believe this, but I thought he looked exactly like me. So I don't think I'm going to mention that to Darren on our interview, but this one picture I have, I think it looks like me. Some of my friends don't. Debbie Cedar, I showed it to her. She said, no, that's Darren Galina. And that's when I found out that she knew, you know, Darren. But all I know about Darren is if he's in drag, he looks like me.
Okay. There you go.
I have never danced to him. I haven't heard him sing or call or anything. But I presume you have. Is that right?
I have. I heard him call a couple of tips at several conventions and really enjoyed his singing, his entertaining ability. He's really one of the top guys vocally and can really carry things really well.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about him.
Yep.
And I would like to add before, if you do air the part about the Darren and drag, that was done with Photoshop. I am not saying that Darren dresses up. I don't know anything about his personal life either. But that was just a gimmick that was used on this particular flyer I was looking at.
Got it. Well, let's go ahead and get Darren on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Darren, it's Dale and Barb from the Square Dance Radio Network.
Hey, folks. Good to talk with you again.
Likewise, likewise.
Yep, I haven't talked to you since you did that music piece for us. Really appreciated that.
Yeah, you know, and I've got to apologize for that. We've talked about doing more, but my schedule has been so crazy since the last time I did that I haven't really had a chance to put anything else together, but I'm still interested in doing that. So we'll have to talk about that sometime down the road too. And there's some really good music that's come out lately too. So
great,
that's a good thing. Yeah,
great. Okay, so we like to start out by asking a few background questions. Darren, where are you originally from?
I was born in Oxnard, California,
mm-hmm.
and I have lived most of my life in and around Lompoc and Santa Barbara, California.
So you know my friends Vic and Debbie Cedar.
I do. They live in my backyard. Well, not like literally in my backyard, but they live close by. I sub for Vic when he's off traveling the world calling square dances. When I was working regularly in Santa Barbara, we'd get together for lunch probably once a month. It was a great thing. I always enjoyed that. And I kind of miss our lunches and getting together. So on those rare occasions when I can work in Santa Barbara, I always let them know so that we can meet up for lunch. Yeah, they're great people and great assets to the square dance community, I have to say.
Yeah,
great.
I agree.
And I think you're not a full-time caller. What else do you do besides calling?
I work for an online advertising network similar to, like, Google AdSense. I don't work for Google, but though I wish I did, but it's similar to what Google AdSense does, yeah. So, no, it just feels like I'm a full-time caller, that's all.
I know that feeling. Although at the moment I'm in the middle of 2 weeks of absolutely no square dance activity of any kind. All right, so let's get a little bit more background. when and how did you get involved in square dancing?
Well, my parents were square dancers. They started square dancing before I was born. Then they stopped. They had me, and then 5 years later, they had my sister. And then they got back into square dancing probably when I was about 12. And they dragged us off to a couple of square dances because we didn't have a sitter. And we're kind of there, and there were some other kids that were our age that were there, and it's like, hey, we want to do this. So my parents looked around, and the club in our town in Lompoc, and of course nowadays this is really hard to fathom, but at that time, which was like late 70s, I guess, I won't give my specific age, but generally speaking, the late 70s, the local club didn't allow kids to join their club or take square dance lessons in their class. And so we had to drive to the next town, which was about 20 miles away in Santa Maria. And my sister and I learned how to square dance over there in Santa Maria with one of the clubs there. My parents came with us, and the four of us actually danced together quite a bit. So that's how it started. And back in that time, you know, the square dance outfits were really, really big, a little bigger than they are now. So we all had matching outfits, all four of us.
Nice.
So we all kind of blended together. It was kind of nice. People got a kick out of that. And we looked sharp, I have to say, for the time. I'm not sure I would want to do that now, but because I'm a big advocate of casual dress square dancing, but
isn't it nice for the caller to be able to sight call with couples he can match up?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
And speaking of calling, when and how did you start calling square dancers?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, the caller that taught me to dance, Daryl Hamilton, also taught me to call. I started dancing, I guess, when I was 13, and it was probably a year and a half after that, that I got my first record from Daryl. Something About Your Baby I Like.
Nice one.
Classic square dance song. It's really, looking back on the whole situation, it was not a good first record for a brand new caller, especially someone so young, to try and do, because I still do that song periodically, and I jokingly share the story that it took me 15 years to perfect that song. I couldn't do it when I first got it. I listened to Jerry Haig is the caller that recorded that original song, and I listened to the flip side, I listened to Jerry over and over, and what a great job he did, and I was just mesmerized by that and how he did it so differently than the local callers.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell the local callers this, some of them are still alive, but Jerry was a lot better than they were, and I'm like, wow. And I was just, it was fascinating to me, but that kind of started it, and I found out where to get more records, and I was able to apprentice under Daryl Hamilton, the caller that taught me to dance, for a year and take a class through, and that's essentially how I learned to call.
Huh.
And it was shortly after that, I was probably 15 when I got my first full dance. My parents had to take me because I didn't have a driver's license yet. And I got booked for another local club in Santa Maria, and they hired me to do a dance. And I don't remember much about the dance, I assumed it worked out really well, because it wasn't long after that club hired me to be their club caller. So, it was pretty cool.
You were a cool kid.
Yeah, I thought so.
So you mentioned the guy that got you started. Did you have other calling mentors as you were coming up?
I did. You know, Daryl was really, there were two local callers. Daryl was the one that really, you know, gave me the training to be a caller. It was another local caller, Ron Minot, that actually allowed me to call at his club. You know, at that age, there's resistance from, there can be resistance from other callers, to actually put a 15-year-old kid up on the stage to call a tip.
Yeah.
And some people see that as a threat. And, here I thought it was specific to me until I get out and I start talking to other callers, young callers, and especially today I've talked to some of the young callers that are up and coming, and they're now experiencing the same hesitation or, lack of support from some of the other callers in their area as well. And the callers who've been around a while kind of see that as a threat and all of that, when in fact it's just making our activity all that much better, having these younger callers involved in the activity.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the story before I get off on too many tangents. So the local callers, Daryl for sure, Ron Minot, a couple of mentors, Ken Bauer, still will admit to the fact that he's a mentor to me. Growing up, my parents saw a little bit of talent in me as far as callers, as far as calling goes. And so they made sure to get me around, good, capable callers, I guess is a good way of putting it. They took me to a lot of Chaparral weekends. They took me to a lot of Rhythm Records weekends. In fact, my parents were involved with a couple of rhythm festivals. They were chair people for Rhythm Records festivals out on the West Coast. And so I was around guys like Ken Bauer and Gary Shumake and Jerry Haig and Burl Main, God rest his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Wade Driver, Pat Barber, Bob Beyer, Kip Garvey, are all people that I grew up dancing to and eventually working with at various points in my calling career. So all those callers played a real influential role in the development of my calling. So yeah, I have so much respect for them. Great.
Yeah, that's a good group to be with. How much are you yourself calling these days? Weekends, festivals, holidays, whatever.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. I think I'm pretty busy. I talk to some callers and they're not working as much, and some of that is by choice. Some of it is just the way it is. But I feel like it's almost overwhelming sometimes. I have my own groups, two groups that I call for in the local area. I run an advanced class right now. I basically, for the most part, I travel the state of California doing dances for various clubs. Periodically, I'll go out of state. I run over to Mesa, Arizona two or three times a year to call over there for some of the clubs. I do some weekend festivals and fly-ins. And when I have time, I'll go to, like, the national convention. But it kind of coincides right around the same time as the IAGSDC convention. And I make it a point to go to all of those as a dancer, mostly. So I don't always get to go to the national convention. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's quite busy.
Now, one of the things that I have read about you, and I guess when we've talked, is you got involved in square dancing, at least in part because of the music, and that you, music is playing a big role in your life. Can you tell me a little bit about the beginnings of that?
Oh yeah. I do have a band, my band that I work with, probably 4, 5, 6 times a year at this point, that plays live music for square dances. And the way that came about was some dancer, probably, because I've been doing this, 33 years, about, 30 years ago, came up to me and said, "Hey, have you ever called with live music?" And I said, "No, I haven't, but that sounds real interesting." Come to find out, there was a dancer in my town, in Lompoc, who played the fiddle and had a country band. And so I approached him and I said, "Hey, what do you think about your group and me getting together and playing a live music square dance in Santa Maria for my club?" And he says, "I think we ought to do that." And so we set up a couple of rehearsals at his house, and I brought over some music and some songs that I wanted to do. And we kind of worked it out and put it together, and we got a playlist for a full dance, and I presented it to my club, and they thought it was a great idea, and it was a massive sellout. Everybody thought it was great. Everybody
wow.
showed up, and the hall was packed. And we did it the next year. And then we did it a couple of years, I should back up. We did it probably 3 years with that other guy's band, the dancer's band. And then he retired and moved to Louisiana. And he said, "Here's the name of a guy that plays fiddle." And, so it was another guy in Lompoc that played fiddle that had his own group, and his group, good or bad, I'm not sure, was a very good band, but I kind of wanted to put together my own group. And he said, and I told him what I wanted to do, and he says, "Yeah, I'll play with you. And here, contact this guy over in Santa Maria," which is the next town over. "He plays guitar, and here's this guy who plays bass. Contact him." I went to the local high school because the high school band director was a friend of the family, and I said, "I need a drummer." And he introduced me to a high school kid that was really good on a drum set. And so we got him, and that's how the first band started, probably, 26 years ago.
Wow.
And we did more local dances. We did a couple of after parties at a local festival. God, I could tell you stories about that. We could go on forever. I think the statute of limitations has run out, so I could tell those stories. But anyway, but to kind of make a long story shorter, through the years, the band kind of progressed to the group that I have now, which is a group of musicians who are based out of Los Angeles. And they're just phenomenal musicians. And I'm so honored that they actually enjoy playing for the square dances. There's other things that they could do, but, they really enjoy playing for the square dances. It's a good thing. So.
What's the name of the band?
My band is Crossfire.
And that's the band that plays for the square dances?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you play any instruments with the group too, or are you just the lead singer and caller?
Well, I play guitar, but I'm mostly a rhythm banger and a front man.
Okay.
I leave the heavy duty picking to the other guys in the band.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, going through elementary school, junior high, and high school, I played trumpet. And then kind of when this band thing took off, I said, "You know what? I think I want to play guitar. I want to play something. I just want to stand up there and call. I want to feel like part of the group." And so I taught myself guitar.
Cool.
And then there was a stint there probably in the mid-90s when line dancing was really popular.
Mm-hmm.
That I kind of got burnt out on calling, and I kind of backed off, I would say, a lot on my calling gigs. And I had a band under the same name as Crossfire, and we played the dance, the bars, the clubs, essentially, up and down Southern California. And we did that almost every weekend. And I did that for about 5 years, and, you know, I thought it was tough managing a square dancing career, but when you manage a band with four other musicians, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, I said, you know what, I just want to go back to being a caller. I just want to take care of myself. I don't want to have to take care of four other people and make sure I've got enough people to cover the cover the gigs, and then, you know, and all the rest of that kind of stuff. But, yeah, so now I've got this group here, and they're, like I said, they're a great bunch of musicians. And sometimes I'm the caller. Sometimes the club hires another caller to call with us, which is okay with me. I'm cool with that because that gives me an opportunity to just kind of sit back and play and just kind of be one of the guys in the band. And that's a lot of fun, too. So
what kinds of music does the band play for either square dances or non-dances?
The band, the current makeup of the band is we have a lead guitar. John McDuffie plays lead guitar, and he has a great country sound. He does play some rock and roll and jazz. John is the music director for Rita Coolidge.
Ooh.
And so she was on tour a couple of years ago with a jazz album, so he did a lot of jazz stuff for a while. We've got a fiddle, Brantley Kearns, that plays fiddle. Of course, you know, you're pretty much limited to bluegrass and country with a fiddle for the most part. That's what he plays. He did he toured with Dwight Yoakam in the early years, first couple of albums. All the fiddle work on there is all Brantley.
Wow.
If you remember the song Guitars, Cadillacs, Hillbilly Music, all that fiddle work is all Brantley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Brantley. I talked to him. We just had a gig Friday night. He was just on tour with Ring of Fire. It's the Johnny Cash story that's touring around the country right now. He spent 6 weeks in Arkansas with them. So, yeah, a lot of talent. Our bass player, he's done some rock and roll, some country as well. He toured with Freddie Fender and the Kung Fu guy, David Carradine.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that David Carradine was a singer-songwriter until my bass player told me. And I'm like, oh, really? I did not realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, got a drummer. And, you know, he's played everything from rock and roll to jazz to country. He worked with the Tokens for a while, Lion Sleeps Tonight group.
Yeah.
He toured with Johnny Tillotson and, Dukes of Hazzard guy, John Schneider. John Schneider had a recording career in the 80s sometime. And Jeff Winter, my drummer, toured with him as well. So these guys just have a real varied background. And it's, you know, I'll let you in on a secret. The reason I do these live band gigs now is really, first and foremost, to just hang out with these guys and listen to their stories about the gigs they've done and who they've worked with. Because it just amazes me that these guys have all this talent and have worked with all these famous people, but yet they're humble enough to want to come and play for my little square dance in West Los Angeles.
Nice.
But I think the guys do it just for the food, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I did a little bit of research before we started the interview, and twice people mentioned the Maverick Saloon. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Can you tell me what that's about and maybe a story or two?
How did you find that out?
Well,
the Maverick Saloon. Oh, my gosh. Back in the 90s, there was a couple that owned this bar over in Santa Ynez, which is near Solvang. It's kind of east of, it's kind of northeast of Santa Barbara. There's an, Solvang is a Danish community. It's kind of like a tourist thing. And there was this bar in Santa Ynez called the Maverick Saloon. It was owned by Mike and Louise at the time. And, it was the coolest place in the world. It was this little one room, bar at the time we started playing, probably about as big as your living room. You get 50 people in there and you got a crowd. And, they had a wooden floor and it was just beat up. And they, the legend is that they, in the old days, the cowboys used to ride their horses through the bar, through the front. They had a pair of swinging doors on the front, front of the bar, and they used to ride their horses in the front door and out and around the bar and out the back door. That's what I heard. Can't confirm or deny that, but that's what I heard. This is a great place, and such an eclectic group of people. You had all the tourists would come in there. And the ranch hands would come in off the ranches out there, and the Indians would come in off the reservation that's over there, and they'd all just get there and mingle and socialize and dance and have a good time. And on Sunday afternoons, we probably at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, we would set up. We'd have to move the pool table over to the side, and we would set up in the corner. And play for 3 hours for the tourists and the Indians and the ranch hands. And four couples would get up on the walkway between the front of the bar and the restroom, and that was the dance floor. And it was an amazing place. And they ended up buying the building next to the bar. And they cut a doorway in the bar and made it like a serious dance floor. Put in a wood floor, put in a huge stage, and turned it essentially into a dance hall. And it just, it was fantastic. And we played the grand opening. And just a quick story about the grand opening. They had us play for the grand opening, and they invited the ranchers to bring their brands with them to the grand opening, because they're having the barbecue and the whole bit. And what they did was they took the brands and they heated them up in the barbecue pits, and then they had this nice piece of wood across the bottom front of the stage, and they had all the ranchers put their brand on the front of the stage.
That's cool.
I said, you know what? It would be really cool to have a brand for Crossfire.
Yeah.
And so I had a friend of mine, his wife was kind of like our manager, den mother, for the band, and went to a lot of gigs with us. And so her husband, who's kind of talented and, as a handyman as well, created this brand with a C and an F. And, we brought it, and the ranchers are looking at that, and it says, you know, that's a pretty cool brand, but if you ever heated that thing up and stuck it on a cow, you'd kill it. Because it was so huge. And the part that would show, you know, the letters and stuff was really wide. That was the thing. But we heated that sucker up, and we put it, one of the other ranchers did. I didn't do that because I'm not real good at branding. But anyway, they heated it up, and we branded the front of the stage, and we are like I've talked to some people, they think the brands are still there on the front of the stage, but we're the only band that has a brand on the front of the stage of Maverick Saloon. So, yeah, that was a great place, and we ended up probably playing there the most out of all the bands that came through. And I guess some people called us the house band, but which is great. We did a couple of New Year's gigs there. We did their grand opening. So, yeah, I guess we could have been the house band. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's great.
And do we have time for another story?
Oh, absolutely. Please.
This is probably the greatest monetary tip that I have ever received. And it's just, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This was back before they expanded into the building. It was just this one, and they were in the one-room bar. And it had been a crazy day, and there was just tons of people in there. And I noticed this couple sitting off to the side, and the wife looked like she might have just had a stroke or had surgery and wasn't too steady on her feet. And there was just a lot of people up dancing. And towards the end of the evening, let's see, when we play, 4 to 7, I guess. Yeah, I guess it's something like that. It was an early gig on a Sunday afternoon. It was like 4 to 7. And we had finished our show, and people were kind of leaving, and the crowd was thinning out. And the guy comes up to me, and he says, my wife didn't get a chance to dance. There were just too many people out there on the little dance floor. Well, not even the dance floor, the walkway. And she really, we came here today. We absolutely love your music, and she really wanted to dance. Would you guys stay a little bit longer and play for my wife?
Aww.
And I'm like, well, typically, I go see the bar manager and say, do you want us to stay an hour? And he looks at the till and says yes or no as to whether or not he can afford to pay us for another hour. And I said, no. I said, the bar manager wouldn't be able to have us stay another hour. And he says, well, how about if I pay for the hour? I said, you're welcome to do that. That's all I said. That man laid down 10 $100 bills.
Oh,
wow.
Gosh.
So his wife, I said, we'll stay for an hour. At least. I think we ended up staying an hour and a half. I said, you tell us any song you want to play. We'd be happy to play. And we stayed there, and we played for an hour and a half for that guy and his wife and a couple other people that were around. $1,000, man.
Wow.
That guy put out just so his wife could dance. And I thought, that was one of the greatest moments in my band career. But, it was amazing. So that's a pretty cool deal.
That's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the end of part one of our interview with Darren Galina. Tune in next week when we'll hear part two. Wow, a great big thanks to Darren. I really enjoyed. He's a very lively guy.
Yeah, likable. You can hear the smile in his voice when he talks, can't you?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to put it. Yeah, I didn't know he's a California boy through and through.
Mm-hmm.
And sounded a little vague with what he did. The Google like AdSense, but
mm-hmm.
not Google and whatnot. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, sounds like an interesting job.
He makes me want to go to one of his dances, though. I'll tell you that. It sounds like it would be fun, especially if it had the live band going along with it.
Yep. Yeah, and I like the way he talked about the people that really helped him out, the fact that he got the opportunity to meet some of the greats in calling and to be mentored by some of the really, really big names.
Quite a list, right.
Yep. And boy, he certainly sounds busy, like he's doing an awful lot these days.
Have you ever called to live music?
I did once, and it was offered to me actually at the birthday party.
Oh.
Several people came up to me and asked if I wanted to do that. And I said, I'll do whatever. But the entertainment that evening was so tightly choreographed that they really couldn't fit anything else in. But I have done it in the past. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult than just turning the record on or whatever.
Indeed. He didn't talk much about it. Said he knew he had played trumpet in high school, but that, you know, he didn't like just standing up there as far as being in the band, just standing up there. I've always heard it's the drummers who hang out with the musicians, but it sounded like he felt like he was the one that was just hanging out with the musicians.
Right.
And I guess we should have asked where the band's name came from. I like the name Crossfire, but
we could guess, though, couldn't we?
We could guess. I have no idea how correct we would be, but we certainly could guess.
I'm sure there's a square dance connection in there somewhere.
Isn't there always?
Yes.
So, Barb, what do you have coming up over the next week?
Well, after a two-week hiatus with no square dancing whatsoever, actually it'll be three because I don't have anything until Saturday, I have a square dance weekend, and it's going to be one of those big, busy, fun ones where friends from out of town come in, and we call it Blizzard Gate. Oh,
sounds
that's
like
what
fun.
I'm looking forward to. And what about you?
Well, I'm just ending 2 weeks of no square dancing, but I do get to go to my daughter's first college horseback riding show this weekend.
Oh.
She may ride on Saturday, and then we're going to definitely go on Sunday and see her ride in her first intercollegiate show.
Is she nervous?
She did not seem nervous.
Good.
She seemed frantic with how much she has to do because she now has like a 25-hour-a-week job plus I think 4 or 5 classes that she's taking, and balancing all of that with, of course, the normal social life and
riding.
Everything else, yeah, and all the riding that she rides. I don't know if it's 5 times a week or whatever, but a lot going on. So she was frantic, and I felt honored. Tonight she came over and just sat and had dinner with us and kind of caught us up on what was going on. Well, thanks again to our guest, Darren Galina. Great interview. Part two will be next week.
This is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Goodbye, Dale. Have a good week, everyone.
And this is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing. See you all on the dance floor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.